Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
Are they still answering? Welcome back, everybody, to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. I'm Tim with Walker. We thank you for listening. If you want to send us an email, go to comments@afr.net. comments@afr.net. You can follow us on Facebook or YouTube. Just type in Today's Issues. Steve Jordahl joins us now. Good morning, Brother Steve.
Good morning. How y'all doing?
Doing wonderful. How about yourself?
Yeah, it's a good day here in Mississippi once again. Every day seems to be getting better.
He does the Joe Biden version of Mississippi.
Is that right?
Say it again, Steve.
Build back better?
Top line message, Steve.
Top line message. It's a great yes, top line message. It's a great day. Can you move that up? There you go. It's a great day here in Mississippi.
See what he does there? All right. Thanks for listening, folks. By the way, I'm going to text Abe and ask him. He recommended a book on critical race theory that the other day that I forgot what the name of it was.
On that topic, Brent's going to post or just posted the One News Now story that Fred did with Abe back in 2019, but it was on this topic of critical race theory. So that One News Now article that Abe did with One News Now is on our Today's Issues Facebook page, so it's a great resource to kind of break this down.
You know, Steve and Walker, what's going on here is the devil's trying to start a race war in America. That's one of the things that's going on here. And people who don't believe in God or the devil, by the way, are the ones behind this. But more than that, they want to use racial divides, as Abe said, to overturn America and to make America a Marxist country. Now, that you talk about a revolution. That's a revolution because America is a capitalist, free enterprise, majority Christian country. And you're talking about wanting to make it look like Venezuela or Cuba. Think about in those places, China, for example, communism. Where communism ultimately leads is the eradication of religion, particularly Christianity in America. So where these Marxists want to go, it's an atheistic ideology. They're not going to tell you this necessarily on the front end, Steve.
It does not take a very deep dive into history to see that the communist country's socialism, in fact, has not been kind to the Christian church.
Right. So Marxism with Black Lives Matter, the founders of Black Lives Matter say that they are trained Marxist.
They do.
That's on the record. Marxism is atheistic.
It is.
And communism enforces atheism. So where these people want to go ultimately is to, they want 25 years from now, 20 years from now, they want to see religion forbidden in America. No more First Amendment. They'd like to get there sooner. I'm just saying it takes a long time to change a big ship, moving big ship's direction, big ship being the United States. Ultimately, they'd like to certainly get rid of the Christians and the Christian churches. Because we represent a resistance to their godlessness, I guess you could say, to their secular humanism. I know some people are going to say, well, that's conspiracy theory.
No.
No, it's not. Not when they claim. They're making these claims out in,
out in the open.
Out in the open. Yes. So it's not that way at all. And you can see the political elites in this country, the academic elites, Hollywood elites, they hate our guts. Hillary Clinton called, she basically called us, by us I mean Christians, and particularly conservative Christians, Steve, a basket of deplorables.
Yep.
What do you do with a basket of deplorables?
Well, unless you want to just wear the T-shirt, which a lot of the deplorables have decided to do, embrace the title. But, yeah, you throw them out.
We are uneducated yahoos who believe in Santa Claus in the sky.
Right.
And our beliefs are backwards, and we need to be shut down. That's what when you call somebody a deplorable, that's what you think about it. President Obama said it on a radio show a few years back. He said, this is before the rise of Donald Trump, he said, we are people who cling to our guns and our Bible.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And he said that in a derogatory manner. Again, what they're saying is, these people, by these people, he means people like the three or four of us here and the people who are listening to us primarily, we need to be targeted to be shut down.
Right.
Because our message is dangerous. Mm-hmm. And you know what I'm saying?
And we need to stop clinging to our guns and our Bibles, because that's a bad thing.
I have a real-world story that illustrates this very well. You remember Nick Sandman, the young man who was at the March for Life in 2019 in Washington, D.C., got confronted by the Indian shaman or whatever it was, and then the media...
The professional paid protester.
Right. And then the media completely twisted this around to make him look bad and everything. Well, he has gone on, finished high school, he's graduated, he's now going to college. And he will be able to pay for his college because he's won a bunch of libel suits. But he has decided to go to Transylvania University. Yes, folks, there is a Transylvania University here in, I believe it's in Kentucky. Nothing to do with Dracula. But one of their teachers is a little hot and bothered that they would have this young man who's Catholic, or who's at least went to a Catholic school, come to their school. He writes, does anyone else think it's a bit of a stain on Transylvania University for accepting Nick Sandman? I'm sure it's a both sides defense, but it's pretty counter to their mission. And another instance of there not actually being equal sides to an issue. What issue is it? He says Sandman is part of a group that holds anti-intellectual views and would see professors as part of some liberal brainwashing machine. But, he says, if he takes my class, he must accept it as gospel.
So yeah, that this gets right into what Dad was saying at the beginning of this segment. Nick Sandman, because this is an ACLU member, right?
Yes.
The ACLU person doesn't agree with Nick Sandman, doesn't like Nick Sandman. Thus, Nick Sandman should not be able to go to this college. And thus, Nick Sandman shouldn't be able to do all kind of other things. But this
what I'm talking about.
This is the way they think.
He's a Catholic. He's a traditional Catholic, Nick
right.
Sandman is. That's disqualifying.
Yeah. College
you're
is off limits.
You're
for
to
him.
Be canceled.
Right.
You don't get to participate.
The dogma lives loudly within him.
And then that means he shouldn't be able to be hired by anyone in the future when he graduates college.
Yes, that's right.
Yeah.
Right.
Probably shouldn't be able to go to certain restaurants, because then the restaurants are harvesting and feeding a bigot. This is the way they think. Total cancel culture.
If these people get enough control, they're going to go for the jugular. By these people, I mean these secular progressives. They don't want to live and let live. They want to live and shut you down.
Yeah, and this is really the last step before they start punishing Christians by fines, which they've already done in certain instances when it comes to baking of cakes and things like that. But this is also the last step before they start jailing Christians, because look at it this way. If you can't go out to dinner, you can't go to college, you can't hold a job, and all these different things because you're a Christian or you're a Catholic. That's the last step before they just say, you know what, you guys, y'all's viewpoints are so radical, so out of touch with reality that we should criminalize the way you guys think. So that would be the last straw.
Doesn't seem like a long leap now to the mark of the beast in buying and selling, does it?
No.
No.
Well, yeah, you're right. But this is where they're headed. Now, whether they get there or not, I don't know. There's a resistance. There's a movement. There's enough people who cling to their guns and religion in America.
Right.
That are fighting back. So it's not an easy task for the other side, but their goal, this is what their goal is to eliminate Christianity in America. They're not going to say it like that necessarily out loud, although some of them do, but that's where they want to go. That's what you do with deplorables. Mm-hmm. So I think in the future, it probably is going to matter what state you live in.
That's true.
I do think it's going to get more difficult. For example, Christians in California, they're targeted now, but it's going to get worse. New York,
mm-hmm.
some of your far left states, it's going to get very, very hard for Christians there to, you know, operate normal church. And you already see them, they go after the Christian adoption agencies because they won't do adoptions for homosexual couples. Well, all right, then we'll shut you down.
Yeah, you can't operate.
Yeah, those kinds of things, they're gonna increase in these blue states, I'm afraid. No, I know it's gonna happen. You're listening to Today's Issues on American Family Radio. You know, Steve, also people think, well, you're exaggerating here, the seriousness of this or the threat. Listen, Bernie Sanders, the senator, remember about 2 years ago or a year and a half ago? I'm just giving you an example of the way he thinks, and this is the way a lot of his followers think. A gentleman that President Trump wanted to bring on his team had to get confirmation from the U.S. Senate. What was the guy's name? Do you remember?
Was that Russell Vought?
It was Russell.
Russ Vought.
Russell Vought. Was that the one that Feinstein took after? I'm not sure.
This was a couple. There was a few different Catholics that went before the Senate on a couple of occasions.
Anyway, I've got the essence of the story correct. The fella was making an appearance between a committee to be questioned for his qualifications. Well, Bernie Sanders starts going after him on his religious beliefs, and his you remember that, but particularly on his Christian beliefs. And Bernie Sanders objected to the guy believing that Jesus Christ was the only way to salvation. Well, that's the essence of Christianity. Period.
It was Russell Vought, by the way.
Yeah.
Okay. Do you remember this exchange? We played it before here.
Yeah.
It was over.
You have it? Anyway, go ahead, Steve.
I was just going to say it was over a article that he wrote for the campus, for the Christian University, defending salvation in Christ alone. And so it was his Christian viewpoint. And I don't know if Brent has that cut, but I remember him saying, well, this is
unacceptable.
I'm speaking as a Christian. He was not going to rule from the bench that if you're not a Christian, you don't deserve justice.
But Bernie Sanders said to the fella, your religious beliefs are unacceptable and disqualify you from serving in the government.
That's correct.
I'm voting no on you.
Yes.
Huh?
Yes.
And Bernie Sanders acted like he had never met anybody.
Right.
That believed in the basic tenets of Christianity.
Yeah. Are Muslims? Do Muslims stand condemned?
Yeah, and this wasn't even for a judicial position, not that that justifies it, but this was for it was the Office of Management and Budget.
Right.
Basically the budget office for the White House.
Yeah, it wasn't a judge or anything. But I just bring that up to say this is how these secular progressives think. They don't think a Christian who has beliefs that is common to all Christianity, they think if you subscribe to that, you should be disqualified from government service. And by extension, they're going to tell you from having jobs.
Yes.
participating in society, all kinds of things like that. So this, what we're talking about is not hyperbole, and it's not, you know, Bigfoot stuff. This is stuff that these people are saying. Hillary Clinton almost won the presidency. She's saying basket of deplorables. They're saying these things out loud. They do want to shut down the church. I know we've played it before, but just listen to this exchange between Bernie Sanders and what's the guy's name, Walker?
Russ.
This
Vault.
Is from when? Does it say when it is, Brent?
This is probably 2 years ago.
It's probably 2 years ago, but just
it's
listen
from
to
June
me.
Of 2017.
Okay.
You wrote, Muslim, quote, Muslims do not simply have a deficient theology. They do not know God because they have rejected Jesus Christ, his son, and they stand condemned. End of quote. Do you believe that that statement is Islamophobic?
Absolutely not, Senator. I'm a Christian, and I believe in a Christian set of principles based on my faith. That post, as I stated in the questionnaire to this committee, was to defend my alma mater, Wheaton College, a Christian school that has a statement of faith that includes the centrality of Jesus Christ for salvation. And
again, I apologize. I do forgive me. We just don't have a lot of time. Do you believe that people in the Muslim religion stand condemned? Is that your view?
Again, Senator, I'm a Christian, and I wrote that piece.
Well, what does that say?
The statement of faith of Wheaton.
I understand that. I don't know how many Muslims there are in America. I really don't know. Probably a couple of million. Are you suggesting that all of those people stand condemned? What about Jews? They stand condemned too?
Senator, I'm a Christian.
I understand you are a Christian, but this country is made up of people who are not just. I understand that Christianity is the majority religion, but there are other people who have different religions in this country and around the world. In your judgment, do you think that people who are not Christians are going to be condemned?
Thank you for probing on that question. As a Christian, I believe that all individuals are made in the image of God and are worthy of dignity and respect regardless of their religious beliefs. I believe that as a Christian, that's how I should treat all individuals.
And do you think your statement that you put into that publication, they do not know God because they've rejected Jesus Christ the Son and they stand condemned, do you think that's respectful of other religions?
Senator, I wrote a post based on being a Christian and attending a Christian school that has a statement of faith that speaks clearly with regard to the centrality of Jesus Christ in salvation.
I would simply say, Mr. Chairman, that this nominee is really not someone who is what this country is supposed to be about.
Thus, I'm voting against him because he's a
Christian.
Yeah,
then he goes on to say, I'm voting no.
Yeah.
So he disqualified him because Bernie Sanders didn't like his theology.
Correct.
That Jesus Christ is the only way to salvation.
Right.
Therefore, you're not fit to serve. Get out of here.
Right.
So there you go. That was a religious test by secularist Bernie Sanders.
Yes.
Huh?
Yes.
All right. You're listening to today's issues on AFR. Steve, next story.
I wanted to kind of put a backbone up against what we're talking about here. How do we get from what we're seeing in reality on the streets of Oregon and in Seattle, in Portland, and in these other cities to how are the Democrats going to be playing this? Well, they have a messaging problem. They see it's very obvious if you look at it that Antifa and Black Lives Matter, whom Democrats refuse to condemn specifically, are behind the violence. And they've been, by the way, also blaming President Trump for COVID, which, by the way, we played several times different cuts and different. We presented different evidence that President Trump was fairly on top of this virus. I want you to listen to a branding expert. His name is Donnie Deutsch. He was on the Morning Joe on MSNBC with Joe Scarborough, and he recognizes that there's a messaging problem going on. So this is how he decides he wants to solve it.
What's so important, and Biden is teeing it up today when he talks about, you know, Trump's America. We need to brand. We need to do a judo move on Donald Trump, who basically last week tried to brand the White House. These are the Trump riots. This is the Trump violence. This is the Trump reality show of a more violent America. Joe, you touched on it on Friday, the irony, the absurdity that Trump's trying to run as a change candidate and that this is somebody else's problems. What Joe Biden has to be vigilant about, and it's got to be both Corona and the riots and the violence, this is branded Trump. This is the Trump reality show. You are less safe today, whether it is Corona, whether it is the violence of the streets, because of Donald Trump. That is the state of this race. And this is the ultimate branding exercise to reverse back and will hopefully be the demise of Donald Trump.
Why does he keep saying branding?
It's marketing. It's the perception. Remember, we're talking not about facts. We're talking about a narrative.
That's a Biden Democrat strategist basically letting you inside their meeting. Yep. That's supposed to be behind closed doors.
Yes.
Yep. I mean, really, he's saying it out loud. We need Biden needs to hang this violence on the streets on Trump.
Yeah, you can't do that. You can't change the branding. The reality,
I don't think it's going to work.
The reality of the situation, it trumps, no pun intended, no matter what branding you go on MSNBC and do. The rioting, the looting, the arson, the domestic terrorism by some of these groups and people, these are Democrat operatives. These are Democrat grassroots voters in Portland and all over the rest of the country. And how you know that is because of how the things that they are saying are Democrat talking points. Systemic racism, we need to defund the police. These are all Democrat talking points. Lastly, it is Democrats that are bailing these people out of jail. We talked about last week, Senator Kamala Harris, months ago, put together a fund for Minneapolis so that they could pay cash bail for criminals that are assaulting police officers and burning down businesses. So these are the Democrat riots.
Right, but he's trying. He's saying Biden needs to change that to put the blame on Trump. I don't think that's going to work either.
No, that's a loser.
Yeah, so
you better hope.
Hey, by the way, before we leave today, the polls have changed slightly in the last 24 to 48 hours.
I know they have among Trump support with the Hispanic voting block.
Did you see that? Do you have that in your stack?
I'm rifling through my stack right now.
Well, I'm just going to say that while you're looking for that, Trump and Biden, now, again, folks, I caveat this by saying if you believe the polls. I don't necessarily believe the polls, but it's in the For What It's Worth department. Trump has caught Biden in Florida.
Mm-hmm.
He's barely behind in North Carolina. Well, they're tied in North Carolina, basically. He's barely behind in the polls, Trump is, in Pennsylvania, Michigan, Wisconsin, and Minnesota.
Among Latinos, he's got 37% support from Latinos. That's massive for a Republican candidate.
Exactly. So the polls, such that they are, have tightened in the last 24 to 48 hours.
Still got a lot of time left. Now, Biden
is still ahead in all the polls, slightly. But if he isn't ahead by more than 5 points on election day, I would not be comfortable if I were his team. I'm talking about in any state that you're not ahead by 5 or more points. Because of all the secret Trump voters out there who aren't answering the pollsters. Because they don't want to be canceled. All right, Walker, thank you.
Yes, sir.
Steve, appreciate it.
My pleasure.
Well, thanks to Brent and Fred and Abe. And have a good day, everybody. Keep listening to AFR. We'll see you tomorrow.